Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
Now, we have been working through the series on Jonah. Now, here's the thing, right? There are times when you're listening to the word and you're wishing like maybe somebody else would listen and hear that. I want to caution you that's not usually the right approach. When you are listening to the word of God, listen to the word of God for yourself and meditate upon it for yourself. You know, not for your husband, for your wife, for your crazy family member, but for yourself. So I encourage you to listen to the message this morning, and indeed when you review the series on Jonah, for yourself. The story so far on Jonah has been one of the demonstration of God's compassion and forgiveness. We've learned in the last few weeks how God instructed Jonah to travel to Nineveh to warn the people there so they may repent from their wicked ways. But Jonah, in his very limited wisdom, decided to disobey God. According to Jonah, the people in Nineveh and any living thing in Nineveh did not deserve God's mercy or compassion. How arrogant of Jonah to make that decision. How arrogant of him to think he can decide on behalf of God. Now, this is a story we're reading about Jonah, but look at ourselves in our own lives. How many times have we been so arrogant we think we don't deserve the grace? How often have we been so arrogant we think nobody deserves the compassion of Jesus Christ? Maybe we don't deserve it ourselves. Maybe we've been told so many times that we don't deserve the grace of God. Thinking that whatever we have engaged in, how many wrongs we've committed are too great for God's grace, are too great to receive the forgiveness of the Almighty God. This was Jonah's limited thinking. And it is true with us as well. Sometimes we do think like that about ourselves. And then when we think like that, we engage in pity and sorrow. Oh, look at me. I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve the grace of God. But this morning, I'm here to tell you that is the wrong type of thinking. How many times have we thought that your coworker, your family member, your friend does not deserve the grace of Christ or the grace of God? It is for this reason I strongly encourage you to take this message, the lessons that we have been taught in the last few weeks of the life of Jonah, for yourself, not for somebody else. For yourself, not for somebody else. The word of God does not come to condemn, it corrects. There cannot be any feeling of condemnation when you hear the word of God. That is the lie from the devil, trying to distract you in not receiving the grace of God, trying to limit you, your thinking that you do not deserve the grace of God. You see, Jonah was mad that the people, that God would be so gracious to these awful, awful people. Indeed, if Jonah had his own way, everybody there deserved to die. He developed a mentality of us versus them. They are not good enough. Again, how arrogant of Jonah. You see, as a culture, sometimes we seem to easily draw lines in the quicksand and strictly define who is in it and who is not. We create these exclusive clubs that we belong to and nobody else has the right to belong to. We make decisions who belongs, who doesn't. Truly and truly, throughout this series, God has demonstrated time and time and over again and from time immemorial that only Him and only God puts us in the right crowd. Only with Him are we in the right place. Only with Him do we belong in the right place. Not because of the color of your skin, your socioeconomic status, your family of origin, your economic status. All that does not matter. Yes, it matters in terms of, you know, wealth matters in terms of us living a life here, but to God is not measuring us how we belong to Him based on that, based on those things. When we engage in this type of thinking, we are in danger of missing the grace of God. We are in danger of not receiving that compassion, that forgiveness. When we see what God is doing in other people's lives, we have that, when we have that mentality, we risk being angered, being angry, being annoyed by the grace of God. And it's not meant to be so. Ask yourself, are you able to celebrate the good fortune and the blessings in other people's lives? Should I feel joy whenever someone responds to the love of God? Because I can tell you and I can assure you, God's love is plenty to go around. But sometimes we measure the love of God in our own limited scope and we think others do not deserve that. Maybe in our own selfish way we think I and only I deserve this love of God. Such was Jonah's mentality when he was called to go and warn the people of Nineveh. Do you take time to rejoice in God's love with the assurance and in knowing that the grace of God is for the entire world? You see, as human, with a human nature that is governed by human and earthly desires, it is easy for us to feel angry when we look at our lives and wonder what's going on with our lives, while others are making progress, while others are seemingly prospering. Others are flourishing, are getting promotions. No matter how hard I work, no matter how much I invest, things just don't seem to be moving in my life. And I wonder, am I the most unfortunate person? It is in us, the human nature, to feel aggrieved when you've been praying and praying, but nothing seems to change. You wonder if God, you don't bless me now, God, when are you going to bless me? If you don't bless me, God, when are you going to bless me? If you don't show your forgiveness, God, when are you going to? But God has already shown us grace. He has already shown us compassion. Maybe we are measuring the love of God and compassion in a wrong way. We are using the wrong metrics. And as such, we miss out on the love of God. And as such, we don't receive that grace because it just feels too good to be true. If God could show compassion to plants and animals, ask yourself, what more you? You who is a child of God, you who, and the Bible is very clear that before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Such a mighty God who holds the universe in his own hand, who uses the earth as his stepstool, can still love you and an individual. Still knows you as an individual. Only God is capable of that great and mighty love, and we need to be able to position ourselves to receive that grace, to receive that compassion, to receive that forgiveness. There's no great wrong that you've committed that God cannot forgive. None. You might think it, but there's none. You see, Jonah was very angry of God's compassion, because in his mind, what the things that they had committed, the people of Nineveh, were just too great to be forgiven, was too great to receive the grace of God. It was too great for God to show his mercy upon him. Even when Jonah himself actually confesses and confirms that God is slow to anger, and he knows he's God of great love, but he said, God, I don't want to go and tell these people, because they don't deserve it. Because they don't deserve it. I'm here to tell you, every one of us, every human being deserves the compassion of Christ, the compassion of God. You know, it's in the human nature for us to wish that God would rain terror on people who have wronged us, on people who have done wrong to us. We pray like, God, can you just strike them? Strike them with something. And then when you look back, you are so greatly disappointed because they are flourishing and they are smiling even ever more. And then you wonder, what's going on, God? But I pray that, God, you should strike them. And when we are in those selfish moments, we also forget the many wrongs that we commit. We also forget that we also offend other people. But yet, we feel and think we are full deserving of maybe of our forgiveness, but Jane Doe does not deserve that, because her sins and wrongs are way greater than mine. You see, when we read the story of Jonah, who was greatly angered by Lord's compassion, he himself, in this process, was disobeying God continually. He was running away. It's not just a matter of running away. It was a matter of disobedience to God. Because he thought they didn't deserve it. Imagine for the moment, that God did not give you a second chance. Imagine for a moment that God did not show you grace. Maybe God has instructed you to speak to that mean co-worker who makes your life a misery whenever you go to work, or even the thought of going to work stresses you out. And then God comes to you and says, I want you to talk to them about my love. That might sound very wicked, right? How can you, God, put me in such a position that I should go and witness your love to this person when look what they have done to me? Look what they are doing to me. Maybe it's your family member. Maybe it's your spouse that God is telling you to go show them the love But imagine for a moment that God did not give you that second chance. Imagine for a moment that God said to you, you are not worthy of a second chance. You are not worthy of my forgiveness. You see, you ask yourself, did you merit that grace? God's grace and love are one of the few promises that have been given to us without condition. If you read the Bible very carefully, most of other promises are conditioned on what we need to do, what we need to live, how we need to go about our lives. But the grace of God is given unto us unconditionally. Unconditionally. That's why he was able to become a sinner, he who knew no sin, so that he can take on that much sin upon himself, so that me and you can receive that grace, so that me and you can receive that forgiveness, that me and you can be ushered into the kingdom of God. We are not perfect people, not by any stretch of the imagination. When God created us, we were perfect. And God said it was good. It was good, and it was good indeed. When the earth was created, it was beautiful. But then sin entered the equation and made everything imperfect. But even with that imperfection in the God's eye, we are still deserving of his grace. We are still deserving of him giving his only begotten son that he may come and die upon the cross. A death on the cross was a death that was reserved for the criminals of the criminals. He became a criminal. He died a criminal so that me and you can receive that grace. As they pierced him on the side, as blood was oozing out and water was coming out, a new birth was flowing out of him. A new birth of hope and grace was flowing out of him. Irrespective of what's happening in your life, I want you to know that the grace of God is upon you. Sometimes you wonder, you ask yourself, is God really into this? Why am I feeling this way? I don't feel loved. I don't feel like nothing is happening. The grace of God is not about feeling. It's not about that fuzzy feeling. The grace of God is about preserving your life and forgiving you. You see, Jeremiah 29 is very clear. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You do have a future. Because this plan, no matter how many mistakes that you might have gone through, you do have a future because it is declared so. Would you receive the grace of God? Would you receive that grace? Would you receive it? You see, in Jeremiah here, sometimes we limit this the scope of that prosperity to material prosperity, but that's not what really it's talking about. It's talking about prosperity that brings completeness in God, prosperity that brings peace in the midst of trials and tribulation, prosperity that brings a sound mind. Any preaching that tells you that you'll be trouble-free, be weary of that. Any preaching that tells you you are going to have all this material prosperity, be weary of that. It's not limited to that. I'm not saying anything against material prosperity. We do need material prosperity. We live in this world. We do need to enjoy our lives, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not the prosperity on which we should focus solely on. That comes with just trusting in God. Stop measuring yourself to the world standard. Stop measuring yourself in comparison to others because you don't know what others are going through. You don't know the burden which the others are carrying through. You are seeing the outward appearance of people and you said, God is blessing them and is not blessing you. The question is, are you at peace with yourself? Are you having a sound mind? Are you complete in God? When you focus on what God is doing outwardly, others, you miss the point. You might miss your own purpose. You might miss your own calling because you are focused on what is going on. You see, according to Jonah, everything seemed so wrong. He became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said? You know, either is Jonah telling God, like, wait, God, I told you, this is what I told you. Like, these people are awful. When I was still at home, I told you, God, but you didn't listen to me. That's what I tried to foretell by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Again, how arrogant of Jonah. The prophet Jonah is having a conversation with God and is telling God, but I told you, God, it's not going to work. Think about the time in your own life where you told God it's not going to work. You see, God allows us the freedom to make choices. And we do make choices. And sometimes when we make choices, we might miss the mark. But God, in his gracious way, he still tries to provide a way for us to get back on track. It's never too late. Jonah was still able to accomplish the mission for which he was sent, even though he was angry with God, even though he tried to flee, even though he became suicidal, thinking, God, I would rather die than to warn these people. Jonah was more concerned about himself than what God was telling him to do. He was so much concerned about what he saw than what God was telling him to do. Do you believe there is enough grace to go around? Do you believe there is enough grace to go around? Or do you think grace is reserved only for a particular group of people? Understand your purpose and gifts. Seek God for the truth he has spoken about you. Connecting with our Lord Jesus Christ is the only way we can grow, is the only way we can receive that grace. Because the Bible is very clear. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Can we develop an outlook on things like that of Jesus? Don't miss the grace of God by being consumed by blessings you see on other people enjoying. Can you just imagine for a second the mental anguish you have to go through, the bitterness, the envy, the disappointment when you see others prospering? That can actually really enslave you. It can actually burden you. It can lead you to live in great bondage because of your mental state, because you are focusing on others. Don't miss the grace of God. There's enough to go around. There's enough for everyone. The love and compassion of Jesus Christ is not limited to a few people. No one is more deserving than the next. Everybody is equally deserving because the Bible says he died for the whole world. In Titus 11 says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Not just a group of people but to all people, to all tribes, wherever they might be. You see, we are so limited, we don't even think about where other people live. You know, when you ask somebody about what's going on in the world, we usually would give you a perspective of what we are going through, of what we see. And then we think that's the world. That's not the world. It's all people. You know, sometimes you travel around the world, you find different shades of people. You're like, oh, I didn't even know people like that exist. And you start wondering, what race do they even belong to? But they are people. And it says all people. Because we are all beautiful and deserving of His grace. God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. And I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? There were 120,000 people, but Jonah was more concerned for himself. You see, God's grace is open-ended. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that He might redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Galatians 4. In conclusion, I would encourage you that we should accept the grace and enjoy the prize, knowing that Jesus paid in full. At this point, I will invite the praise team to come forward. We should accept the grace and enjoy the prize, knowing that Jesus paid in full. Did Jesus pay in full? Do you think He paid in full for you? Do you think He paid in full for somebody else? Again, I'll encourage you, take this message for yourself, not for somebody else. For yourself. Meditate upon it. Don't be like a Jonah that tries to run away. You know, my family, sometimes they nickname me Jonah. They call me Jonah because many times I've said I would never, and I used to tell them, they tell me like, oh, you have a calling into the ministry and you should preach. I said, no, absolutely not. I'm not doing it. And I refused so many times, and then it just so, I don't know, I keep getting to a point where I have to. Even this time, I wasn't supposed to be preaching today, but we thank God for Jabin. The Carrascos family have been mightily blessed with a new baby girl. And Jabin called me like, can you preach on Sunday? And I was prepared to say no. And then like, but why Jonah? I listened to the message for myself. I listened to the message for myself. And when I was preparing, I'm like, God, can you stop? Why are you speaking to me this way? I don't want to end up in the belly of the big fish, because I don't know what that belly for me is going to be. It might not be that so comfortable. Think about this. In what areas of your life do you have a scarcity mentality where you think limiting. So you think you are limited. Think for a moment in your own life where God has shown you grace. And while you think about that, ask yourself, did you deserve it? Don't be arrogant and say, yes, I deserved it, because none of us deserved it. And then if none of us deserved it, then who are you to say Jane Doe does not deserve the grace? Have you tried to limit God's grace upon your life, upon other people's lives? Think about this week as you set out to work in your life. Are you going to extend that grace of God to somebody? Are you going to extend that grace of God to that person that you, in your mind, in your limited mind, think they don't deserve it? Let's challenge ourselves as we contemplate upon this series of the grace of God. As we contemplate and we look around in our lives and we look and say, God, give me the grace to extend the grace to others. Give me the opportunity, Lord, to extend the grace to others. I know I'm weak, Lord. I know I can't do it. But you, with your strength, with your empowerment, I can extend your grace. Because every child, every mother, every father, every drunkard, every criminal on the face of the earth still deserve the grace of God. Let's worship together.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.